I wanted to say something about that video that we saw in the very beginning about how big God is and how majestic he is and how he created not only earth, but the heavens and the universe, and how it showed the magnitude of creation and each individual, and how incredible it is to think that God pays attention to each one of us. The idea that God's got better things to do than to worry about your problems, and how it said in the video, nothing could be further from the truth. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Why nothing could be further from the truth. So this month we're talking about stewardship. And last week I said our problem when it comes to stewardship, serving the Lord, it's more about inspiration than it is about information. It's not as much about knowing what to do, but being motivated to do what we know. And we looked at Romans 12 and we looked at verses 9 through 21 and we said, what in this chapter or in this particular portion of Scripture, what is not clear in terms of what God wants us to do? And we said, well, not much. Pretty much we know what to do. The problem comes in the motivation to do what we know. Think about how our lives and the lives of others around us would be different if we just did 20% more of what we already know. I'm not talking about 100%, just 20% more. 20% more. So the issue here is not we don't know what to do. The issue is more, I need to be inspired to do what I know. I need a little bit more octane in my tank to go up that hill. You know, I need a little bit more pep in my step to cross that road. And we are challenged by the world. We're challenged by the flesh. We're challenged by the evil one to do the things that we already know. But there's something greater than those resistors. There's something greater than those obstacles that prevent us from moving forward in terms of our stewardship of our lives to the one who all our lives has been faithful. He deserves our lives. He deserves our service. He deserves our worship. He's not asking us for anything that he doesn't deserve. Everything we are, everything we have, all of our talents and all of our abilities and all of the things that we think we're doing, in him we move and breathe and exist and we have our being. And so, if you're taking notes, today's message is titled, Lord, You Know Me. But I want to say it like this. Lord, you know me. It's more, that's the feel of it, okay? Lord, you know me. And if you're taking notes, the main idea that you can write on the notes section there is the greatest motivation for serving the Lord is realizing how awesome he is and how incredibly loved we are by him. The greatest motivation for serving the Lord is realizing how awesome he is and how incredibly loved we are by him. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very familiar psalm. And we've all seen this sight before, but I want you to think of us sort of being on a bus tour. And we're going to travel through this passage again, and I'm going to point out some sights that you've seen before, but maybe make a note or two that will help you to look at that a little bit differently. So we're in Psalm 139. And if you are taking notes, I'm not going to give you, just a heads up, I'm not going to give you a point one, point two, point three like I often do. But all of my notes will be on our website at valleybrook.church this evening. So we're going to go through this, and I'm going to be pausing and making commentary as we go. But let's start with verse 1 of Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know how when you sit down with a friend and you're describing a situation and you don't get into all the details, or you might start to get into the details, and then you stop and you grab a French fry and say, well, you know me. You know me. And you don't have to explain what you know me means. That's just, you know, between you guys know each other. So that's how the Lord is with you. That's how he knows you. Only more so. Says, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. We've all got our ways, don't we? We've all got our ways. Laverne tells me, she says, you know what? You're delightful, but, you know, I mean, you got your ways. And she knows a lot of them. But she doesn't know all of them. But she's good. Oh, she's real good. Just yesterday, I told her, I said, you know, Laverne, you chose the wrong profession. You know, she served her career in public health. I said, but you should have been a spy. You should have been a spy, because you notice everything and you forget nothing. And in a good way, in a good way. Seriously, in a good way. She remembers stuff that I long since forgot. She makes me better because of it most of the time. She knows when I sit down and when I rise up. She discerns my going out and my lying down. She even knows when I turn over. But she's not familiar with all my ways, because sometimes she asks, what are you doing? Or who are you talking to? When she hears me talking in the other room and it doesn't sound like I'm talking to the Lord. Who are you talking to? Nobody else is in the house but us. And she hears me over there talking, and she knows I'm not praying. So we have these names that we've given to that person that we're talking to when we're talking to ourselves. All of us have given names. Mine is Tom. So when I'm just kind of talking to myself, you talking to Tom? My grandson's got one. His name is Timmy. Who are you talking to? I'm just talking to Timmy, Pop. But the Lord never needs to ask what I'm doing. He never needs to ask unless it's rhetorical. Dad, what are you doing? Like when he asked Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? It's not like he didn't know. They thought they were hiding, but what are you doing? So the next verse, verse 4, tells us, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. I don't have to explain myself to him. I don't have to explain why or what or how. I don't have to give him the details before I even form the word, or if I can't form the words. I'm in a spot where I just can't even mouth the words, even before. There's a word on my tongue. You know it completely, O Lord. He knows it. It says in verse 5, you hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. You know when you're walking with a child and you're crossing the street and you grab them by the hand, or you have your eye on them in the traffic and you're making sure that they don't get too far from you in case a car comes out of nowhere. You got your eye, you kind of have them hemmed in. You know where they might go and what might happen. And so you got your eye on them. That's what the Lord is like. No wonder David says in the next verse, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. David said, the knowledge of God's Spirit being wherever he showed up. If he shows up in heaven, God is there. If he made his bed in the depths, God would be there, or on the far side of the sea. But consider this. If that was mind-boggling to David, and he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. If that was mind-boggling for David, imagine what David would have written if he was in our situation. Because you see, our situation is different than David's situation. Because, see, David saw the Spirit being wherever he went. It's like you going to Giant and somebody's there waiting for you. That was David's situation. That's how he saw it. If I go here, you're there. If I go there, you're there. If I go over here, you're there. Our situation is different. Because not only is he there, he's here. So he's not only there when we get there, he's walking with us as we're going. So he's inside of us even as we are going to wherever we are going. I mean, that doesn't boggle your mind. It boggles mine every time I think about it. And I am familiar with that idea. Are you familiar with that idea that the Holy Spirit is in you wherever you go, that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit now and forever, that God's presence lives inside of you, that he is closer to you than your thoughts and feelings, that is your situation and it will never change now and forever. That is your situation. So David was boggled by the thought that God was everywhere. And the Holy Spirit, of course, came upon David. But the Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us. And that blows my mind. If I say in verse 11, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. There is no situation so dark that the Lord's light cannot penetrate it. There is no darkness that can overwhelm his light. There's no puzzle that I face that can confound him. There's no problem that confronts me that he cannot solve. There's nothing that happens to me that makes him scratch his head, tap his finger to his mouth, or scratch his beard because he can't figure it out. Darkness is as light to him. the scripture says. And then he says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. You created my inmost being. So you know how I'm wired. You know what makes me tick. You know how I process life. You know how I react to things in life. You know how much I can take. You know when I have hit my breaking point, my boiling point, my quitting point, my toppling point. You know what my inmost being needs because you created it. I don't need a word because you created the way that I am. And you know me in that place, on that level. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God does not become conscious of you only when you become conscious of him. Can I say that again? Sometimes we think our relationship with the Lord gets activated when we pray or when we read the scriptures or when we go to our private devotional times. When God becomes conscious to us, then our relationship with God is active. No. That's not how it works. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. I'm sleeping. And when I wake up, you're still thinking about me. You don't become conscious of me only when I become conscious of you. You don't start thinking about me when I start thinking about you. You don't just pay attention to me when I call upon you. When I am taking my walks in the morning, as you know, when I find a coin, I have a little jingle that I say. Find a coin and know it's true. The Lord is always mindful of you. That reminds me, it's a good way to find money, number one. But it makes it fun when you do. Find a coin and know that it's true. The Lord is always mindful of you. And I am mindful of the fact that it's not finding the coin that makes him mindful. It just reminds me that he's mindful, that he is always mindful of me. All my life, you have been faithful. Yes. All my life, you've been thinking about me. All my life, you've had your eye upon me. When I've been going and coming, when I've been doing and sitting, all my life, you've been mindful of me. And not with a judgmental view of me, but with an attitude and a heart of how am I going to go about winning Thaddeus? How am I going to go about capturing his heart? How am I going to get Alberta's eyes to see how much I love her? I'm strategizing and plotting to win your heart. My grace and my mercy has been with you all your life. All your life I've been mindful of you. And then there's this. Usually we stop at 18 and then pick it back up where it says, search me, O God. But we're going to go right through 19. Yeah. Take a look at it. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. I feel you, David. We listen to the news, don't we? We've had loved ones who been harmed by evildoers. We've been harmed by evildoers. One of our dear friends was just recently assaulted by somebody. So I feel you, David. Lord, make the madness stop, is what he's saying. Make the madness stop. We could say that about the world we're living in today. Lord, make the madness stop. There's a sister sitting in here right now who would tell you, I just want the Lord to come back and put an end to this, Keisha. I wasn't going to mention your name, but you raised your hand, so there she is. Keisha can relate to this. So can all of us. Make the madness stop. When, Lord? How long? We have to deal with all of this. And then, as if David got a reminder notice on his phone. You know how your phone gives you a reminder? It's almost like he got a reminder, and then he realizes something. He says, wait a minute. I got some issues too. Yikes. I mean, I'm not one of them because I've got you. But I have some issues too. I have some of those same tendencies. Wait a minute, I see some of that in me. In the words of the playwright Terence, he said, I am human. I consider nothing human alien to me. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. So David gets a notice on his phone and he recognizes something and he makes an about face and takes us to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me. See if there's any hurtful way in me. Lord, I don't want to be part of the problem. See if there is something in me that is contributing to the mess that I want you to end, that I want you to bring to a conclusion, that I want you to solve. Search me and see if there's anything in me that is exacerbating or extending this problem, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, as we saw last week, when David talks about the unrighteous and bloodthirsty men and all of that, last week we looked at how we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We don't identify ourselves as the unrighteous. We identify ourselves as the righteousness of God in Christ because of the blood of Christ. So I'm never going to label myself anything other than the righteousness of God. And I'm not going to allow the evil one to label me as anything other than a redeemed son of the living God, because that is who I am. That is how God appraises me. And ultimately, it is his assessment, his opinion, that is going to matter in the end. And what he says is, you are the righteousness of God in Christ, because I made him who knew no sin to be sin on your behalf so that you might become the righteousness of God. I said it all last week and I'm giving a coda this morning. But I want you to keep in mind that just because we have these tendencies does not make that who we are. You are the righteousness of God. But we still have these tendencies. We still have the flesh. We're still in the world. There's still the evil one. And so when we look at this passage, we say, Lord, see if there's any hurtful way in me. It's a recognition that although I am in the process of being transformed, I am not yet perfected. That the Holy Spirit is working in me to make me more like Christ. He's working in me to help me to align with the identity that God has given me, helping me to be in practice what I am in fact, what God has declared me to be. The Holy Spirit is helping me to see myself that way and to begin to behave that way and think that way and feel that way and interpret my life through that lens. But in the meantime, search me, oh God. I know you love me. I know there's no judgment. I know there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not asking you to clean me up so that I'll be acceptable in your sight. I'm not asking you to search me and take away all of any offensive way or any hurtful way so I can make my way to heaven. Uh-uh, that's all taken care of. That's all taken care of. I'm not worried about that, Lord. I know whom I have believed and I know where I'm going. So I'm not praying from a deficit position. I'm not praying from a position of I need to be better so I can be better. I can't get any better. You can't get any better than the righteousness of God. I don't know how you're going to do it. Nobody can. So we're not asking you, Lord, to help us to identify any offensive way so that we can somehow be in better grace with you. But because we know, Lord, that as you do that in our lives reflect the purpose for which you placed us here. We accomplish your works. We walk in the good works that you prepared beforehand for us to walk in. We bring glory to you, and we were created for your glory. That's why we're here, to bring glory to you. And so search me and see if there's any hurtful way in me, any offensive way in me that would mar the glory that you want to shine through me. And in the process, help me to see how magnificent you are and how beloved I am. So I'm not being cloaked in shame and failure and all of that, because that's not where I'm coming from. That's not who I am. I'm coming from the standpoint of because I am beloved, because I am righteous, because you could not care more for me, that you could not be more, could not exercise more oversight of the details of my life than you are. Because I'm beloved, search me and see if there's any hurtful way in me. Lord, you know me. You love me. Help me to be open to your coaching. Show me where I can be better. Show me, Lord, because you know me. And now we're going to take a moment and have our care through prayer and the verb. I'm done.